All right, so we are beginning of Parshas Vayetze, and Yaakov is sent on his merry way. Wait, oh boy, sorry. There we go. Everyone sees the psukim? Yeah. Okay. So Yaakov is sent away. We know he's running away from his brother. Very, very tense time right now for Yaakov. And right away, it says, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana. So he leaves Be'er Sheva, he goes to Haran. And he's on his way. Vayitzka b'makom vayalan sham. And he encounters this place. And he lies down there. Kiva Hashemesh. It seems like he's going to sleep. Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom. Vayasemra shotav, vayishkav b'makom hahu. So there's a word that's repeated several times in this pasuk. Odd. The word makom. Vayifkav b'makom, right? Vayalan sham, kibar shemesh. Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom. He takes from the stones of the place, puts them under his head. Vayishkav b'makom hahu. And he sleeps. He goes to sleep in this place. So we know he went to a place called Beit El. What's odd here, obviously, is like, why don't you tell us what the place is? What's going on? I mean, Yaakov will, you know, name it later. But this is a very, it seems like a very mystical experience. He has some sort of encounter, literally. He's encountered, or look at the English. He came upon a certain place, but on some level, the place actually comes upon him. Vayifgaba makom. He's, the word, lifgoa actually means to penetrate, right? Like if you stab, whatever, you puncture something, right, with something else. Vayifga, it goes in. In modern Hebrew, the word, pagatabi, it means like you've hurt my feelings, right? Something happened and I'm really impacted by what you've said or by what you've done, right? That's a pigia. So something happened here that's really, really like important. A, B, the place itself clearly is a place of importance. And if it is so important, how come they don't tell us what the place is or where it is? So we're going to, obviously, we're going to look at the Kli Yakar, but there's a famous Gemara right here that says that it was in this place that Yaakov davened, Vayifga, Ein Pigia El Tfila, that when you engage in something deep and penetrating, where, you know, you're impacted and you're impacting even the heavens, so that is davening. And this was Maariv. So, right, we had Shacharis with Avraham. We have Yitzchak with Mincha. We have Yaakov with Maariv. Okay. So let's see the Kli Yakar. Vayifka b'makom vayalan sham. Well, actually, before that, we're going to see Rashi. Okay. Rashi. Vayifka b'makom lo yizkir hakatuv be'eze ofen. Be'eze makom, ela b'makom. It doesn't say which place, but at the place. Hanizkar b'makom acher. So Rashi says, oh, what's special about this place? It's a place that was mentioned somewhere else. What is that? That's Har HaMoria. Shenem arbo, vayar tamakom merachok. As it says, that he saw the place from afar. Who was that? Abraham. Right, when Abraham goes to Akedat Yitzchak, it says, right, God says, you know, go, you're going to go to this place, Eretz Moriah, and you're going to bring Yitzchak up on a mountain that I show you. And then all of a sudden it says, Vayisayna Vayar Tamakom Merachok, that Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place from afar. There's something unique and special about this place. So it takes the word Makom, Hamakom, and says, oh yeah, that makom is this makom. The reason why it says makom is it is to bring you back to that. So that's like a past experience. Why are we thinking about a Kedas Yitzchak as, you know, Yaakov is leaving to go off, you know, and find a wife and whatever? The answer is because this is his major, this is his major challenge, right? He's on his own. You might say, oh, what do you mean? He tricked his dad, right? He went and he stole the bracha, but he wasn't actually on his own, right? He was under his mother's guidance, under his mother's, you know, explicit instructions. Here is his Akedah. Yaakov is now on his own. He's leaving Israel. He's going to an alien land, a foreign place, doesn't know anyone. And, you know, this is make or break for Avraham, for Yaakov. This is his Akedah. Okay, so let's see the Kli Yakar, because the Kli Yakar takes it a step further, right? That's the Makom of the past. Okay, so we're going to go back and we're going to pull up the Kli Yakar. Who we've been learning. Those who are new to the Shir, welcome. And we study the Kli Yakar, which is one of my favorite Perushim, a rabbi who lived in Prague after the time of the Maharal. He was the rabbi of the Alt-Nu-Shul, the famous shul in Prague, right? That was the center of the Jewish community. And fascinating parish. Okay. Vayivka b'makom ayalan sham. Rabbi Hussein Zal Amru Shazeo Hara Moria. Right, so he quotes Rashi, who was quoting a Gemara that said that, yeah, this is Hara Moria. This is Mount Moriah. Shinemar Bo, Vayar to Makom Erchok, Karala Makom Ahu Stam Makom, Lefishakom Makom Yeshlo Shem Livui. He says, because every name, he takes it a step further. Every name, every place has a name, has some special, you know, there's a reason. Why do we call, I don't know, what was New York called before? We know, right? It was called New Amsterdam, right? Why is, you know, every place has some reason why it's called that name. For example, I'll give you a good one. Sheldrake Road. There's a Sheldrake Road right around the corner from you, Chani, right? Why is it called Sheldrake Road? Do you know? Why, Jeff? You're going to know this. Why? Exactly. There's the Sheldrake River, right? Which I know, but they call it the Sheldrake River, right? Thank you, Jeff. That runs like right, you know, right through there, right? Parallel to that. So therefore it's called Sheldrake. Right? Again, you name a place based on what it was, right? Some proximity to something, a landmark, something special happened there, you know, just, it's fascinating stuff. I was reading a really interesting article. Actually, it was about Beit El, about what we're talking about here. Basically saying that, like, there are certain places in Israel, you know, they just have a name. Oh, there's a place called Ai. It's mentioned in the Torah. It's mentioned in the book of Joshua. And they say, like, Ai really means kind of just like ruins of a city. So it's like, wait, is it a ruined city? Is it a destroyed city? Or is it a new city? Or is it just, or maybe they're just ruins? Or maybe it's a city. Like, every name, you know, every place has a name, and there's a reason for that. Al-Shem Ba'alav, maybe there was someone who owned it, right? New York, right? The Duke of York, right? Right? I got that? Yeah? New York? Yeah. Okay, good. Right? Al-Shem Ba'alav, who owned it? Al-Shem Mahuta Makom, the essence of that place, ki bezeh yuvdal mishar mikomot, because through that it is distinguished from other places. Bezeh makom ne'elam mahuto ushmo, but this place has like a hidden essence, and its name is hidden. Kamavor lamala parshas vayera bepasuk Hashem yirae al kain karustam makom ki ein bo adayin Hashem asher bo yivdal mishar mekamot. There was something unique, special, different about this place, Therefore, it had no name because no one could really put their finger on what was unique about it. There's something here. There's something special in this space. I don't know what it is. We have to figure it out, right? Ultimately, we know, right? If it's, you know, Hara Moria, we know it wasn't Hara Moria, but there's this, you know, midrashically, it's linked to Hara Moria, right? He's in this place called Beit El, Bethel, right? And he's going to have the ladder dream, right? And the Medrash, you know, talks about how really kind of like transported him to this place, right? To Hara Moria, to Makom HaMikdash. And that's where they're going to say, and by the way, Beit El means the house of God, right? So it makes sense, right? That sort of connection is there, that Beit El is connected to somewhere, a mountain in Jerusalem called Har HaBayit or Har HaMoria. Okay. Davar Acher, L'chkach Karu Makom Stam, another answer, V'fi Shehu Mekomo Shel Olam, because it's the space of the world, it's the place of the world. Hein mitzad shesham even shetia, umisham hushtat haolam. I'll tell you why it's the place of the world. It's kind of like the center of the world, the focal point of the world, because that's where the even shetia, the foundation stone, is, and that's where the world, you know, sprang out of, right? This foundation stone. It was the cornerstone of the world, and the world, according midrashically, who knows, spiritually, came from there. What do we see there now? That's where the dome of the rock is. That's the rock we're talking about. I'm sure everyone knows this already, right? But the rock in the center of Har HaBayit, right? That's where the dome of the rock is. That's where the Beit HaMikdash was also encompassed that rock, and the place of the Kodesh Kadashim, the Holy of Holies, was where that rock is, right? And what's interesting is, right, we can't go, halachic, there's a problem, but like, you know, people go, they see, there's, you know, this rock, right? It's that, it's this concept, it's like literally the cornerstone of the world. So that's what it's called, the Makom, it's Makomo Shel Olam. It's literally the place of this world. Afishara, Sheshaka Alav HaShemesh Shelo Be'onata, because he saw that the sun set early when he got there, meaning something happened and, like, you know, the sun set like 2 hours early. Lefi Shemesha, and that's why he davened Maariv, right? Vayifka B'Makom, he had this encounter at this place, and then all of a sudden Vayalin Sham Kiba HaShemesh, all of a sudden he realized, whoa, the sun just went down. That's really odd. What's happening? So, and what does that have to do with, like, you know, the Beis HaMikdash or, you know, Temple Mount? Lefisha makum kadosh zeh, mache galgal chama, vein hatzarich el hashemesh. Says, because a holy place like this doesn't need, by the way, you could mute yourself now. A holy place like this doesn't, it weakens the orb of the sun itself. And it doesn't need the sun, right? Think about it, right? The nations of the world, right? Our world, right? The secular world. We use the secular calendar, which is based off a solar calendar, right? The earth orbits the sun, right? The sun is the focal point of reality, right? As we know it. But not at the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's the opposite. The Beis HaMikdash, the temple mount, right? In that space, it doesn't need the sun to give it energy, to give it power, to give it some, its warmth, its, you know, its importance. It gives it, right? The Beit HaMikdash gives the sun power, right? Literally, right? It's because it's the, you know, let's call it, it's like the fuel tank of the world. The Adarava, HaShemesh Tzricha Elav. He says the opposite. The sun needs the temple, needs the Beit HaMikdash. Kemosha Kasav Rabu Seinuzal, Amra Bi Avin, Atamotse Misha Mavakesh Lasot Lo Chalonos, Osa Otam Rechavot Mi Bifnim, Vitzarot Mi Bachutz. So in general, think about the ancient world. If you go to an ancient structure and you see windows, right? They don't have window panes like we have, right? They don't have, glass windows, right? So you make a window. How does it work? The window is, here, I'll show you, right? Chalonot osev otam rechavot mibifnim. So inside, it's wide. And on the outside, it's narrow. You ever see that when you go into these ancient Talmudic structures, whatever? It's narrower on the outside, but inside it's wider. Why? Because Kadeshi Yushoavina Orami Bachutz. So that it could take in a ray of light, right? Take in some light and then expand it. That's the idea. Okay? Not maybe it doesn't have to be super narrow, but the idea is to utilize as much light as possible, even if it's, not that narrow. It's like this, but then you can make it on the inside more like this. So it'll, the light will have a place to go. Okay. However, aval chalonot shel beit hamikdash, but the windows of the beis hamikdash, hayu rechavot mibachutz, vitzarot mibifnim. They were the opposite. Fascinating. They were the opposite. They were on the outside, they were wide, but on the inside, they were narrow. So it was like kind of, worked its way in like this. It narrowed the light. Why? Lama sheyeha or yotze men mikdash umeir la'olam. Because says Rabbi Avin, it's the opposite. We want the light from the Beis HaMikdash. The spirituality of the temple, of Temple Mount, of Har HaBayit, right, of Yerushalayim, to go out and spread forth to the world. They need us. Or more precisely, it needs us, right? Ki mitzion teitze Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. For from Zion, Torah comes, and the Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim, right? And the word of God from Jerusalem. What's it saying? What it's saying is that, we look at the world and we say, oh, the physical world is the ikar, the essential, and the spiritual world is secondary, right? We're here in the physical world, right? We're right here. So that there's this world and then there's the next world. Says the Torah, says the Medrash. No, you have it wrong. It's the opposite. The sun. We don't need the sun. The sun needs us. Right? It's an unbelievable idea, right? When God creates the world, notice the words. Bereshit bara Elohim. You could finish the words. Ed ha-shamayim, the ed ha-aretz. In the beginning, God creates the heaven and the earth. What's created first? Shemayim, the heavens are created first. On the Pashup shot, the basic understanding of that is just, mechanical, the physical universe, the expanse of the heaven, in space and atmosphere and so on, and earth. But no, what it's really saying on a deeper level is there's the spiritual world and then there's the physical world, right? Again, who needs who? Do we need the sun or the sun needs us? That's what's really so fascinating about this. And therefore, Shnemar Ba'aretz Yirah Mikvodo, etc., Kisei Kavod, Marom Merishon Makom Mikdashenu, Ayinus of Zephine, and Mikan Raya. And he says, from here is a proof. She'ena Shemesh Mi'ira Ela Mikdash. Alkein Ka Or Hashemesh Miyad Bebo El Mekom HaKodesh. So this is a proof that the sun, the place of the Beis HaMikdash doesn't need the sun. The sun, just sort of goes down on some level, right? Or weakens at the place of the Mikdash. V'haya le'eid erev yeh or, ki ye'ir Hashem or ha'elyon mimakom kadosh, zeh ad shenir Hashem elav b'machazeh b'layla hu. So when Yaakov gets there, and now it's like all of a sudden the night comes, and basically, what's the message Hashem's trying to tell Yaakov? It's gorgeous. The message is, Yaakov, I know you're scared. I know you think it's really dark right now, but guess what? If you live within my light, I will illuminate your way, right? If you remember this place, if you connect to this space and you bring it with you, right? Literally like right? We said that, like, you know, it was transported here or there. You bring it with you. He wasn't even at Makom HaMikdash, but Hashem is saying, no, here, I can take you there. You carry it with you wherever you go, right? And you bottle it and you could channel it. You know, I was speaking to someone yesterday, someone who was dealing with it was a kid who was really dealing with some major emotional stuff, psychological stuff. And he happened to go somewhere to get it's not in from this community. And he happened to go somewhere to like, you know, get himself right. It was like kind of like a wellness retreat center type place. And it was really like, he's off on the West Coast and he's on a beach and he's back here. And I said, do you miss it? You miss being out there? And he said, yeah, I really miss it. He said, it's just harder here, you know? So what I said to him was, I said, you can bottle it. The thing about the mind is that we can bottle experiences, right? And put them away, file them on some level, right? And I said, like, remember how you felt? Remember the sun rising over the beach, you're riding a horse, you feel the breeze. You remember that? Yeah, oh, I feel really good, right? That's like visualizing, but it's real. It's a real thing. And I said, you could take it with you and it'll help you even now. This is life. And I think the same, I see Chani right there shaking her head. Oh, right now I'm on my porch in Beit Shemesh, right? That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. But that's what Hashem is telling Yaakov. Yaakov, you're going away. Yeah, you're going to be in an alien land. Yes, you're going to be in an alien family. Yes, you're going to be around loved one and who knows what you're going to be dealing with. But you know what? Remember this. Remember this place. Remember this space. Remember this dream. There are angels following you, right? There's a ladder. You're climbing that ladder. You're there. I'm right here. I'm right next to you. You could take me with you. And I think for many of us, by the way, through the pandemic, right? We still haven't, some of us maybe haven't been back to shul regularly. Some of us have, what do we do, right? And it's so depressing. I feel it. It's so depressing. And your home, you're in your house, and you're, I don't know, and you're davening, or you're lighting Shabbat candles, or you're saying Kiddush, but you didn't go to shul in the morning, and you're not feeling, like, we have to try to figure, wait, remember that beautiful tefillah I had once, remember that beautiful Kiddusha, remember the Kol Nidre, the Ne'ilah, those kinds of things. You take it, and you bottle it, and you have to, like, maybe sometimes you have to close your eyes and go there, but it's there. And it's very real. I don't want to say it's as real as we make it. It's not as real as we make it. It's real. It's real. That's what a neshama is. The neshama stores things, right? Experiences. Vayifgaba makom. And that's why it's this place, this special place. And perhaps, I would take it a step further. Perhaps the reason why the Torah refers to it as a place and says it several times. Remember, Vayifka b'makom, Vayalan sham, Ki v'ashemesh, Vayikach me'avnei ha'makom, Vayasem rashata, Vayishka b'makom ahu. Maybe it's telling all of us. Maybe it's trying to tell all of us that every one of us has a makom of spirituality, has a makom of, you know, of serenity, of security, of feeling, you know, what we're supposed to feel. That meaning, the feeling, you know, yeah, we miss our families. We're not together. There's that place. It's there. It's there. We have to encounter it, just like Yaakov did. And what's fascinating also is after the dream, it says as follows, right? Hashem is standing there, the angels, etc. And then it says, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnato, Vayomer. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. Right? He wakes up and he says, oh my God, God is in this, say it again, makom. God is in this place and I didn't realize, I didn't know. Vayar vayomar Vayirava Yomar, sorry, he was shaken, right? He was stirred, visibly shaken. And he said, Manara ha-makom hazeh. How awesome is this place? Ein zeh kim beit Elohim zeh shar shamayim. And then he names it. Oh, this must be the house of God. And this is the shar shamayim. And then it says, Vayikrat shem ha-makom ha-hu beit el. Interestingly, how many times does it say makom again? Three times again, makom. Why? So again, either it could be, you know what? Hashem is in so many places. We can find him in so many places. I don't even need to name it. It doesn't have to, maybe it doesn't have to be Yerushalayim, or, you know, right for right now, maybe right now, right? It maybe it's my dining room. Maybe it's the outdoor, the tent, the outdoor minion. Maybe it's my bed. I don't know. Maybe it's Zoom. I don't know. It's makom. And it says it three times. Why three times? Three times makes a chazaka, right? Three times says, no, this is real. I'm not imagining this. This is something that's real. This is comforting. Right? Because these are memories. By the way, that's the reason why. I thought I saw someone on the Zoom or just lost someone. But that's why we say, Hamakom yinachem etchem, b'toch shar ve'el yetzir Yerushalayim, right? When someone, God forbid, loses a loved one, we say, may the place comfort you. What do we mean the place? It's talking about Hashem. They say, but you know what it also means? Exactly this. Hamakom, knowing that I can access a treasure trove of memories, of experiences that I had with that person. And it's always there. It doesn't go away. It's like we say, right, when we bury someone, Nebuch, right, we say, we're burying the body, we're not burying the person, right? Because the person's always there with us. Person always stays with us. Interestingly also, what does Yaakov do? It says that he wakes up, Vayishkem Yaakov baboker, Vayikach et ha'evan asher samar shatav, Vayasam otam matzeva, Vayitzok shemen al rosha. He takes a rock, and he puts it down, and he puts it as a matzeva, as a keepsake, as a remembrance of this place. When do we do that, Chevra? This is a question out to you. When do we take a rock, and we put it on that place? Yeah! Thank you, Adam. Right? You go to the cemetery, right? And what do? There's a matseva, exactly as we saw, matseva, a marker, a grave marker. And we take a rock, an evan, and we put it down. Why? What are we saying? Exactly what Yaakov said. I need to hold on to this. I know that he or she is still with me. Right? And I'm going to remember the moments. I'm going to remember the experiences. It's life-changing to be able to live like this, right? Because, you know, if everything is just gone once it's over, what is it? Doesn't mean anything. And so, thank you for Chani. Chani says, Hamakom is another name for Hashem. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Jeff is asking about talking about the rock. Okay, so we'll see one more piece, and then I want to show you a picture or two. But let's go back. We're going to go back. We're actually going to go back to the rock. Hold on. Okay. All right. So, okay, we just did this. Okay, so, Vayikach me'avnei makom, vayasem rashotav. So he takes from the rocks, the stones of the place, and he puts them under his head. So now that we know, once he realizes that this is a special place, that this is a place that, like we said, doesn't need the sun. The sun needs it, right? It's the source of energy and life and vitality for the world. So he takes rocks and he puts them around his head, literally around his head, to show his love for this place. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, your servants want, they you know, we're excited even about the rocks of that place. That's the idea of certain people. I remember maybe, I think it was the first time I ever got off a plane to Israel. And what did I do? I kissed the ground, right? That's what we do, right? But you know, people to this day do it, you know? You make aliyah, you go down and kiss the ground, right? Because even the dust, even the rocks are important. And it says that he took 12 stones, keneged yedbet shvatim, corresponding to the 12 tribes. Kedis b'medrash, v'ayu avanim mirivo kol echad, amar alaya niach tzadik rosho ad shenas le'evan achas. So when he quotes the medrash that said that all, why did he take all these stones? Because all of the stones were arguing. And the medrash says they were arguing, so to speak, and saying, oh, I want the tzaddik, the righteous person, to put his head under mine. You know, he's gonna use me as a pillow. Or he's going to use me as a guard. So he takes all 12. Why? So what is it? What is it? What is it teaching? What it's saying is, and I'll just say it outside. He's saying that, no, he took them all to unify them. And they ended up becoming one rock. It says, Vayasem Merasho Tav. They end up becoming one rock, right? And the idea is, right, that ultimately, in the time, right, in the future, remember Abraham, the original Rashi, was talking about the Har Moriah in the past. Now we're talking about the Makom. There was the Makom of the present that we just discussed about what he experienced, what we experienced. Then there's the Makom of the future, right? And what he says is that just like Yerushalayim is a place that all of the tribes paid in to kind of purchase Yerushalayim, to purchase the Makom HaMikdash. Okay? Everyone, David, when he bought it, he collected money from all of the tribes so that they all had a stake in Yerushalayim, in Jerusalem. So that none would say, oh, this is in my territory, or this is in my territory. Sounds very similar to what? Washington, D.C. Same idea. Yerushalayim, right? No, they took the achani. They took the idea for sure from the concept of Jerusalem. I mean, these are the founders were biblical, you know, biblical people. For sure, right? It's the same idea that it's going to be every place, but no place, right? It's going to belong to everyone and no one at the same time. Notice Yerushalayim straddles Yehuda and Binyamin. It's not in, you know, it's in both territories, meaning it's everyone's. The same thing, right? We have Washington, D.C., Abdul. But the idea being that this is a place that's supposed to unify, that this is a place that is above the petty squabbles and the petty issues and all of the division and, you know, factionalism and so on and so forth. We're not playing that game. This is Makom HaMikdash. This is a place of unity. And if God represents, God is, you know, the ultimate, you know, unity in this world or unifying force in this world, well, this place is going to be the ultimate unity and unifying force in this world as well. We should think about how these concepts really could play in our lives, not just from the space of, you know, where we are and bottling and picturing and feeling, you know, a place or the feeling of that place, even if we can't go to that place right now, saying that you can, even if you can't. Right. And there are places that are holy that we never would have realized, are holy. But they are just like Yaakov thought that there's no way there could be holiness in his life. But eventually, you know, he realizes, that there is. And also this notion of the ideal of Judaism, of Yerushalayim, of Har HaBayit is unity, is shalom. Right. And maybe, by the way, that's the light that's supposed to come from the Makom HaMikdash that everyone that gives out to the world is this idea of shalom. If only we could see it. If only some of our friends and neighbors and compatriots and co-religionists could see it and harness it. We'd see the Mashiach come and the Kli Yakar. And I want to show you a picture or two. But the Kli Yakar, just to close, remember it said Makom three times? The Makom, he says, I'll tell you what these makoms are. He says, right, in addition to the things we said earlier, makom, the first Beit HaMikdash, Makom, the second Beit HaMikdash. Makom, the third Beit HaMikdash, which, God willing, should be rebuilt. B'mehera b'yameinu. Amen. So I want to, hold on 1 second.